The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is your host, Tia. This is your host, Tia. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Top 10.
Why?
Geek Vibes Nation.
Geek Vibes Nation.
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 The Top 10.
The Top 10.
The Top 10.
All right. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Top 10 by Geek Vibes Nation. We didn't get to do a Top 10 last week. We are back for the Top 10 this week, and I'm very excited. And also, I'm your host, Tia, and I have with me, as always, my amazing co-host, Brittany. How are you this evening?
I was going to say, I'm amazing. I've been messing with my 3D printer and I want to throw it across the room, but besides that, I'm great.
Okay, so quick interjection that has absolutely nothing to do with the podcast today, but did you ever see the movie Office Space?
Is that the one where they beat up the printer?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god, I have not fully actually seen it.
It's one of those movies that you see it and it's obviously hilarious, and then you go and work in an office and then you just kind of realize how relatable it actually is.
I think that's where I am right now, because you're like, you should work, I paid for you, I did exactly what everything said, and yet you still decide not to work. Why?
That's what happens with, you know, not to sound like an old person, but you go, goddamn technology. And it's really true sometimes, though, because, as I said, working in an office, another quick story. I worked at a law office only for a few months right out of college. It was essentially my first office job. And they had this big ass printer, you know, it was supposed to be able to print something like 50, 100 pages, whatever, double sided staple, you know, all this like crazy shit, because it was for a law office. So obviously they had to be able to have a printer that could do a lot of these sort of things for, you know, for their litigations and shit like that. Anyway, that thing never worked. Do you know how much anxiety I would have, like, as a new person, as the assistant, as someone who never worked in an office before, to be like, here, copy all these things, and then make all these copies and everything, and they're supposed to be like 50-page documents where you're supposed to scan things, you know, and it's front and back, and it gets stapled, and like the papers would get clawed, or it wouldn't print front to back, or, you know, it didn't staple correctly. Oh my god, I mean, I sat there and was like, this is the worst thing ever, this is so much stress, and it just never worked. So anyway, printers suck. Is what I'm trying to get at here.
They do suck. Oh, they do suck.
Yeah, so that's the main lesson here. That's the takeaway. But yeah, so Brittany and I are back, and we are going to do the top 10 Loki moments from the MCU. So just to make
it clear, here for it.
It's not the top 10 Loki moments from the show Loki, because as of recording this episode, there's only been two episodes. So this is Loki from the entire MCU. We did, I think, about a month or so ago, the top 10 Black Widow moments, because the Black Widow movie is coming out soon. And so I figured, with the Loki show being out, why not talk about the one character who's just been a constant throughout the MCU. And, you know, for a long time before Thanos came to the picture, I mean, people always compared every villain to Loki. So, I mean, realistically, why not have an episode of the top 10 moments of Loki?
I know. And I would just say, Tia fucking loves Loki. Like, I love Loki This lady loves Loki. Like,
probably your favorite. Would you say he's your favorite MCU character?
100%. I say this all the time, that it is Loki that got me into the MCU. Like, granted, I saw the first Iron Man in theaters, right? I saw it. I was excited for it. I loved it. You know, Robert Downey Jr. was great. Loved the story they told. And so, you know, at the time for, you know, at the end of that movie for Tony Stark to come out and say he was Iron Man, like, that was huge, you know, a superhero who's actually, you know, revealing his secret identity. So it's like, yeah, no, I was totally here for it with the first Iron Man. But seeing the first Thor, and seeing this character Loki, who I had no previous knowledge of at all, it's just, for some reason, my mind gravitated towards this character. And his involvement was why I was excited to see the first Avengers. It's like, yeah, yeah, I'm excited.
He was obviously the best villain.
It's like, yeah, yeah, obviously I'm excited for the team up and everything, but they're going against Loki. Oh, shit.
I know. I'm going to say, I think he picks all your boxes, though. He's got long hair, mm-hmm. dark hair.
Yeah.
He's tall.
Yeah.
He's more lithe. He's thinner. And I'm like, this is like Tia's perfect man over here.
But yeah, 100%.
He's evil, which is like another cherry on top.
And 100%. I mean, I think if anyone ever questions, hey, do you love the character Loki? It's like, I have two Loki tattoos. I think I pretty much solidified on my own body that this is a character that I just love. So, yeah. But, I mean, it's crazy.
You didn't stand a chance.
No.
He would have said, what does he say, Neil? And
yes.
He was like, yes, sir.
Oh, 100%. It was so funny. So we just started doing the Marvel Cinematic Review shows again, which are the shows that we do now every Wednesday night. We were doing them Saturdays, but we're doing them Wednesday now. And for the first show a couple of weeks ago, when we reviewed the first episode of Loki, I literally dug out of my closet a shirt that I had gotten back when the first Avengers movie came out. And it literally says, keep calm, because remember those shirts were really big back in the day, the keep calm and carry on shirts.
Yeah.
And it was like, keep calm and join Loki's army. And I literally like pulled it out of my closet for that episode.
Oh, I love that. I'm glad you had it.
Yeah. No, I keep clothes. Paulie and I have these conversations now where it's like, you know, new clothes versus old clothes. And it's like, getting new clothes are great. But when I have an article of clothing that I love, it's like I stick to it and I keep it forever. And that is that shirt. So, yeah.
You know what? I'm there for it. I'm there for it. That's like, I have trouble throwing away old cosplays and stuff because I'm like, am I going to need this for anything? And like, look at the other clothing I haven't worn in absolute years, but I'm still holding on to it just in case.
Well, I mean, that's like, I'll always keep my pair of trip pants just in case, you know.
Oh my God, you still have the same trip pants from your childhood, right?
I do, because first of all, that was $75. That was a lot of money as a teenager. And it's almost as if it's a two things, right? It's almost like a memorialization of my like punk days. And also, I feel like there's this whole okay. So, you know, when we were younger, I don't know if you did it, but when I was like a teenager, me and all my friends, Alora and everything, would sit there and go, man, I wish I grew up in the 80s, you know, because I'm all into like hair metal and shit like that. You know, I was born in the wrong era. And now I'm seeing these, you know, these kids, but I'm seeing kids on TikTok who go, oh, you guys who grew up in, you know, the early 2000s during like the skater and the emo and the goth phase. Like, I envy you. I wish I was growing up during that. And I'm like, it's come full circle. And I see all these,
it has
like,
come full circle.
I see all these Gen Zers wearing like Scene sort of clothing and trip pants and shit. And I'm like, oh my God, our fashion is coming back.
Either die young or live long enough to see the kids consider you old now.
Oh yeah, I mean, the song 1985. It's like they're gonna be making a song 2005 or something.
I know. You know what's funny is I still think and I go, early 2000s, you know? I'm like, oh, this one song has to be there. And I'm like, oh, no, that was like 2010. And I'm like, what the fuck happened in the early 2000s? Where was I? What was I doing? And then you're like, oh, yeah, I was like 6 years old.
No, the biggest thing for me is when someone goes, oh, hey, millennials, want to feel old? The 90s were 30 years ago. And I sit there and I go, no, they weren't. They were like just 10 years ago. And then you're sitting there, you know, the thing from TikTok that's like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no,
oh, oh, no, oh. No, no, yeah.
And I sit there and I go, well, Tia, you were born in 1990. So you're 31, meaning the 90s. 31 years ago, and it's like, nah.
No.
But anyway,
feeling old. I just turned 27. I still need to hit my 30s.
Shut up.
Oh, whatever.
But we're
still
here
laughing over the trip pants.
Oh my god, we're here to talk about the god of mischief who is at least 1500 years old. So you know, we're still young compared to Asgardians.
Then quick question. Do you think if he was a little goth kid back in the like early 2000s, you think he would have been wearing trip pants?
Oh, hell yeah. Loki definitely would have been wearing trip pants back in the day. He's already like,
you know,
a goth
I can see
emo.
It. He's already got enough daddy issues.
Quick thing before we get into the list here. Did you know, I'm sure I've said this before and you probably just know out of just knowing, that Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, originally auditioned to play Thor.
Yeah, I saw that, which is insane, because I know he is more of a natural blonde, like sandy blonde almost.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, but you know, I wonder, I think he would have been able to beef out for it.
Well, so the thing
because
is
he's
that
never played anything that's had to be like huge.
Well, you know, the thing is, there are interviews where, you know, he reveals this and there is a test photo out there. And I mean, he did say he's not nearly as massive as Chris Hemsworth. I mean, that's just like on crazy level, but he did bulk a little for it. You know, you could see the potential there, but then they said, you know, we already got this other guy that we think would actually be perfect for Thor. But would you like to read the part of Loki? Can you imagine if Tom Hiddleston said no? If he was like, actually no, I just really want to play Thor. It's like, man, where would we be today?
I'm seeing it. I don't like him. I don't like him as Thor.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now like too.
I'm like, no, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for the offer, but no, thank you.
I'm looking at it now. Oh man, no offense, Tom Hiddleston. You know we love you, but you definitely, it was Disney, Marvel, Kevin Feige, whatever. You all made the best decision to not cast him as Thor. But
you know what? They were like, what's it? Who's going to play Loki? Oh yeah, another man that wishes he was Thor.
Well, okay. I know I keep saying one more thing. I'm like the queen of that. One more thing.
One more thing.
The best is when you look at the old article from Variety that came out, you know, now more than 10 years ago, that goes, Marvel cast two unnamed actors to lead their Thor movie. And it's like, they're not unknown now. They're definitely like Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston are definitely not unknown now, but it's crazy to think that they were considered unknown actors. You know, so the Thor movie literally made their career. So, you know, again, we love to see it, but
love to see it.
Before we get into this top 10, you know, we always have to give a massive shout out to our friends over at Stranger Damies. Stranger Damies is a D&D podcast from the Main Damie family of podcasts, which the Main Damie Network, I believe, said on Twitter that they just celebrated their 3-year anniversary. So that's awesome. We love the guys over at the Main Dami. They also have a podcast called They Call This a Movie, where they go over terrible movies and just kind of do it in such a funny manner. As I said, they have Stranger Damies, which is a D&D podcast that you can find over at Twitter and Instagram at Stranger Damies. And they have Game Vault Podcasts, where you can see one of the members of the Main Dami, Dan, his wife, Jen, who is awesome. So make sure you check that out. And yeah, they're just great people. Make sure you go check them out. Tell them that Tia and Brittany said hi. Them. They're so cool.
They always raid me on Twitch. They're always raiding me, and I love it. And I'm also making them D&D dice. I got to wait for the molds to come in, and then I'm going to make them their own custom dice with their logo.
Which is amazing. I love that. You know, it's like, that's what, you know, us at Geek Vibes Nation, we like to bring people together. And it's like, look at this. We're all bringing people together. We love it. It's family, man. I love it. I love it. But Brittany, why don't you start us off our top 10 Loki moments in the MCU? What is your number 10?
You know, I always have a hard trouble at time picking initially, because they're all so fucking good. But you know, I'm gonna go up with a classic goodie, just because I wanted to be there. I'm gonna go with, let me see here, the sheer panic on Loki's face whenever he was with the what was his name, the Grandmaster, whatever. Yes. When they're on the planet, his sheer panic when he's like, yeah, I'm schnoozing, I'm great, I love this, and he sees the fucking hole and the sheer panic on his face, he's like, no, I need to go. And I know it's such a silly moment, but I live for it. And the reason I live for it is because Loki's always like, I'm very ahead of myself. I'm very, you know, I'm very posh. I'm very suave. And then it's like, oh, fuck, Jesus. Okay, dude, I need to go. And the girl's like, wow, what's wrong? What? This is my champion. But I love that scene in general, because that leads into my other favorite scene when he's like watching like Thor get his ass beat by the Hulk at first, and he's like, yeah, that's what it feels like. And you wouldn't really expect that from Loki, but it makes me laugh so freaking hard, because Loki was living his best life. That was all he ever wanted, and he got it.
No, so that is one of the best Loki scenes, honestly, because as you said, he was really thriving on that planet with the Grandmaster. So he's at this party, as you said perfectly. And I believe he says, I have to get off this planet. And it was so funny, because you don't think of Loki as panicking. And so him, the fact that the Hulk was able to just imprint such a lasting memory on Loki is just so great. And just him... It's then when Thor gets his ass beat, and him going, yes, that's what it feels like. And everyone's looking at him so strange, and he goes, oh, I'm just such a fan of this sport. I was right.
You know what I think I love about that suit too, is it's like, you know, you would think, oh, that wouldn't really hurt him, but it goes to show how strong the Hulk is, where a literal god is sitting there going, yeah, fuck that guy, that hurt like hell, and I remember it.
It's like Loki's been through so much, right? You gotta imagine he's gotten his ass beat quite a number of times throughout the years, and for that to be the thing that he remembers is just, it's so amazing.
What did the Hulk say to him? Puny god.
Yeah, puny god.
No, I know. I love it. See, I know it's like so much smaller, but I think it was like a really a show of character.
No, I love it. It was actually on my list as well, because I thought that it was a great scene with Loki, and it was great, as you said, as we keep kind of stressing here, that it showed that even Loki can feel panic, because you mentioned it perfectly. He's very suave and very sure of himself and such, and to kind of show that a lot of that is a farce, essentially. A lot of that is almost fake. So I very, very, very much enjoyed it. So yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying I did too. I loved it.
So great way to start the top 10. I wholeheartedly approve here. Wonderful. For the number 9, so this scene to me, right? And we always say this, by the way, if you're a first time listener, thank you. Welcome to our podcast. Even though we do the top 10, it's never in a linear order. So,
it's never that way.
But if we were doing this sort of podcast in a more linear fashion, I would say that this part, should be higher on the list, but I'm putting it here because this, we just said Loki got me into the MCU, and this is the scene that really solidified me loving Loki. And it's a very well-known scene, and it's the scene where Loki demands Odin to tell him about his origins. And I just remember being in the theater when they're in that whatever basement or something, and Loki kind of finds out that something isn't quite right with him. You know, he's turning blue and shit, and Odin's standing there and everything, trying to kind of talk his way out of it. And Loki's just like, you know, tell me what's up. And then him just shouting, tell me. And I just remember like, so impressed that an actor could just, you know, put all those emotions in his face and everything like that. I was just watching, just so like enamored with it. And I remember when it was on, eventually the clip went on YouTube and everything. I remember just kind of rewatching it because I was just obsessed with it. I loved it. I thought it was a great scene. I love seeing, I love that whole interaction of Odin then finally telling Loki what his origins are, that he's a frost giant. And, you know, Loki not just taking that, right? Not then being like, oh, okay, that's it. That's the end of it. Him then demanding for Odin to keep going because he's like, no. It wasn't that just, you know, you were in the heat of battle and, you know, you decide, oh, poor baby, let me take the baby. It's like, no. You were in the middle of war, blah, blah, blah. And then finally to get out from Odin that he was essentially going to use Loki as some sort of bargaining chip. And I mean, I'm sorry, I just remember being so enamored with it. But go ahead, Brittany, what do you think about this scene?
I was gonna say, isn't it the same one where he's like, it was my birthright, and he was like, your birthright was to die?
No, that's a different one. So that scene that you're talking about is from the second Thor when Loki is in
Shaft. Is that on your list? I don't want to accidentally discuss it.
Sorry, I muted myself by accident. No, it wasn't on my list. So no, it's fine. But I was going to say that was the second Thor when, you know, that because that's when Loki comes back from having tried to take over the world in Asgard. And, you know, Odin's essentially going, well, why'd you do that? And Loki said, it's my birthright. And Odin was like, your birthright was to die. Again, two amazing examples as to why Odin was kind of a shitty dad. I know he redeemed himself in Ragnarok, but I swear those two scenes are like the posters of shitty fathers.
He really fucked up his kids. Poor, like, Hela, she's like, yeah, I made daddy happy. I made him proud. Oh, what? I don't fit into his perfect world anymore? I guess I'm getting sealed away.
Uh-huh. But yeah, no. It's so funny that you say that because, you know, I think we were talking about that on the Loki podcast recently where it was like, Hela's the villain, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, maybe it was something with Odin because she got, you know, he locked his daughter away, as you said, giving her positive affirmations for so long that her killing was okay and warranted. And then as soon as he had a change of heart, then it was like, whoa, we got to lock up with this girl. And then, you know, Loki turns out the way he does. And Thor was a bit of an asshole. So, you know, it probably was Odin.
Would you consider that he was, would this whole thing with, was it Jane? Was that her name?
He hated Jane. He called her a goat.
Would you consider that specious or racist?
Oh, I don't want to get into that sort of debate on here.
No, I'm just saying, like, he seemed to only really like Asgardians. I'm not it's definitely, saying like that. I'm
it's definitely
saying, like on the list of awful father things.
It's definitely a degree of like elitism, right? Thinking that she's so beneath them and everything like that. I remember, like, full disclosure, I was never the biggest fan of Jane. I just kind of found her character boring. But I will say I highly dislike Darcy, and the WandaVision show completely changed my view of her. So I could be wrong. Taika Waititi could be doing an amazing job with her in the fourth Thor. But my point in saying is that I didn't necessarily like Jane, but I still was like, Odin, yo, that's foul. How do you call her a goat?
Yes. I would say, well, that's what was fucked up, because he very much was like, he wanted him to be, like, he wanted Thor to be with an Asgardian. He very much looked down on her. I was like, that's just another list of shitty, you know, things he's been or done.
Odin definitely doesn't get any award for being, like, father of the year or something like that. But, yeah, I love that scene in the first Thor when Loki, you know, screams at Odin to tell him the truth and everything. And I was so impressed. I was so, like, so taken back by that scene. So, like, I don't know. It made me feel things, that scene, to just see him, like, you know, see him so desperate. And I think that started off the whole thing of Loki really just wanted his father's approval. You know, he just literally wanted his father's approval. So I don't know. I love that scene. That's going to be my number 9. But Brittany, let's move on. What is your number 8?
Let me see here. I just have to look at my list. You know, I'm afraid of, like, you know, it is always the order part, but I almost want to go into, you know, I'm gonna go with a very small scene. The reason why I'm using this scene is because, just goes to show that even if Loki isn't in something very long, he really has a way of stealing the show. Do you remember when he's walking with Thor? I think it was the second movie.
Yes.
And he starts turning into Captain America and, like, fucking around and being mocking. And for some reason, I always love that scene. I used to watch it on repeat, like, on YouTube, because I loved him just turning into Captain. Who else did he turn into?
I think he turned into Lady Sif, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, and then he's just like, I'm trying to remember. But, like, for me, it caught me so off guard, because, you know, we had had, like, we had had the Avengers, but at that point, you know, you didn't see much of an interaction with Loki with the other characters at that point, because, you know, this is a different movie. You hadn't seen it in a little while. And I don't know why, it was just, like, kind of, like, nice to see his, like, more in-depth look at, like, the, how he thinks of the other characters. And Loki really does see Captain America as, oh, I'm goody two shoes, I'm a Boy Scout, I don't do anything. But because you got to remember, at that point, he's still remembering, you know, original, Captain Rogers, but, you know, Steve Rogers, you know, because we really saw that development of Captain America actually becoming, you know, a little more hardened, a little bit, like, he was scary in the Winter Soldier. So to see that Loki was just seeing him still as, like, Boy Scout, I don't know, it did things for me.
No, I loved it, because I don't think we expected to see Chris Evans in Thor 2. And just,
yeah, I'm gonna say,
this scene was on my list as well, because it's such a fantastic scene. As you said, it's short, but it's so iconic, just Loki being a little shit brother and pissing Thor off and just mocking him, like, oh, look, your new friends. Okay, who should I be? Oh, should I be righteous like Captain America and everything like that? And it was just so great.
It was very jarring. It caught me so off guard. You know,
I think it's also because I think this was from the second movie, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That movie sucked so bad. I think at that point we were just sitting there going, well, at least we got this.
I say all the time, I hated Thor the Dark World. And you know what's so funny? I'm not even the biggest fan of the first Thor. I just love Loki in
it. Oh, me neither.
And people say that sometimes to me where they say, how could you be a Loki fan if you dislike the first two Thor? It's like, Loki was great in those movies. I just think the movies were bad. I mean, the first Thor is definitely better than the second Thor. The second Thor is virtually unwatchable. During the beginning of this whole pandemic, right, I almost did like a Marvel binge-a-thon and shit. And I tried to go back and rewatch the second Thor. And after a while, I just had to start skipping. I just had to start skipping scenes.
Oh, I know.
But definitely this scene was one of them that I didn't skip, you know?
Do you ever have that moment where you hate yourself because you want to like rewatch a movie because you're like, oh, you know, it's kind of like I would love to replay Resident Evil 8 for Carl Heisenberg, but then I'm like, oh, I can just watch all the clips online. And you sit there and you're like, but I kind of want to watch the whole thing over again. But I also know that all those good scenes are on there, and you still find yourself skipping around to it anyways.
I mean, listen, again, there's a lot of fantastic scenes. I don't know if this is on your list, so I will be very vague about it. But the end of Thor 2 was great. That little tease with Loki and everything. I mean, that was a great scene. So there was a few really great scenes from Thor the Dark World, but overall it was just trash.
Yeah, it was pretty trash.
That's the movie why I dislike Jane and Darcy so much. I didn't really mind them in the first one. Like, again, going back and rewatching it, I'm sitting there going, oh God, I couldn't care less. Everyone uses could care less, and it's completely grammatically incorrect. Couldn't care less about either of these characters, right? It's almost like, you know, when you watch Transformers and our biggest complaint is that there's
honest to God, I was just, I was on the tip of my tongue about to make the same comparison about how, you know, when you watch the Transformer movies and you just don't give a fuck about the humans, but you have to watch it to get to the good parts. Yes.
That's exactly how it is in the first two Thor movies, right? I just want to see epic gods battling, and I'm forced to watch the humans. That's why Ragnarok was so great, because all we've explored were the gods and, you know, other species and everything. I didn't have to be,
and
like,
there was no romance.
There was that quick, you know, sorry Jane broke up with you. And I thought that was great.
Oh my God.
Which I'm really, you, so I don't know if you know this, Brittany, because I know you're not as like active on social media like that, or at least like the reporting side of it, but you know, we're getting a fourth Thor called Thor Love and Thunder. Yeah. And it was announced that Natalie Portman will be reprising her role as Jane, and they're actually going in the direction of Lady Thor.
That's crazy. I thought they could get Natalie Portman back, but she's like, you know what? You're going to make me Thor? Okay.
I think that's what it was. I think that she saw the script that Taika Waititi put together, and she was impressed. I mean, apparently Chris Hemsworth was really bored of playing Thor and almost considered quitting until he, you know, became involved in Ragnarok. So, you know, Taika Waititi is a great freaking director and writer. The fact that he is, you know, bringing all these people back. But my point in saying,
he gave him more depth.
He gave him more depth because before this, like, yeah, I like Thor. He was an essential part of the Avengers, but I found his character very boring and bland. And then in Ragnarok, he has humor, but he has heart. And then in Infinity War and Endgame, I mean, Jesus Christ, he's one of the best characters in the MCU now. So this is the power of Taika Waititi. I'm telling you, the power of him.
You know what Thor is? He's a himbo.
I've heard that. Yes. Oh my God.
He's a himbo. Look at him.
Oh my God. But yes, I love Loki impersonating Captain America and Thor 2. And I'm very excited for Thor Love and Thunder. And I'm interested in seeing how they're going to bring back Jane's character and how she becomes her own version of Thor. I know how it is in the comics, but I'm not sure if they're going to say, like, go that direction. So we'll have to see. But I'll do number 7. What am I going to do? So I'm actually going to pick a scene that is from the Loki show, and I'll explain it to you, Brittany. I don't think it's too much of spoilers or anything like that. I don't know when you're planning on actually watching the show, but I mean, spoilers for those who are listening. Okay. So there's a scene in the Loki show in the first episode where, all right, really quick, Brittany, I'm going to explain it. Okay. So this is the Loki, obviously, that we see at the end of, not at the end, sorry, the Loki we see in Endgame, right? When they went back to 2012 and he picks up the Tesseract and he like yeets off and everything like that. So it's like, this Loki is considered a variant because he's not going in the direction that Loki's supposed to go. So this Loki is fresh off of being defeated by the Avengers, about to get, you know, taken away and blah, blah, blah. So
he's still a dick.
So he gets taken by something called the TVA, the Time Variance Authorities, and their whole shtick is collecting variants throughout the world and pretty much getting rid of them because they go against.
Do they kill them?
Oh yeah, they disintegrate them. You see it as
no. What do they want to disintegrate Loki?
Well, they were going to. They sentenced him at first to do that, and then Owen Wilson's character was like, "No, no, no. I think I could use him actually for, you know, this crime solving I'm doing." Right?
Did he go, "Wow"?
No. Oh my God, Owen Wilson has not done the wow yet. I'm like, if he doesn't do the wow in this show, why bother having him?
I will feel so, like, I will feel attacked.
But can I tell you really quick before I get to, like, the actual part that I want to put on this list? They have great chemistry together. Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston are fantastic together. It's really great to watch. But so in the episode, right, Owen Wilson's character takes Loki, and he, you know, pretty much is like kind of trying to break him down to like accept reality and everything. And, you know, he's pretty much like telling Loki, you know, you killed your mom. And he's like, what the fuck do you mean I killed my mom? What do you mean my mom's dead? And you know, because this is the Loki before Thor 2 happens, you know? Yeah. So eventually Loki gets into this room by himself and he gets this pretty much this film reel of his life, but it's the life that Loki is supposed to do. So he's literally watching it and he's seeing everything. He's seeing his mom die. He sees eventually that him and Thor, you know, make up and they become brothers. He sees that Odin says that he loves him and everything. He sees his death in Infinity War, right? And then he sees it goes end of film. Like, that's it. Like, Loki is supposed to die by Thanos' hand and everything. And Loki sits there and he goes almost like he has tears in his eyes, but he almost kind of like laughs to himself. And he's like, glorious purpose. Like, pretty much saying, like, I don't have a glorious purpose. Like, look at this. I'm literally just like meant to die. And it's a sad scene, but it's kind of an interesting way to rework that whole thing. Like him going, you know, I'm burdened with glorious purpose. And for him to kind of just laugh at it because of how almost ridiculous it sounds. So I know that was a long-winded explanation, but I had wondered.
No, I love it.
But I had wondered if this Loki would eventually know his like history. So I'm glad they did in the first episode where they essentially caught him up with like everything that happened or will happen.
Yeah, because that way it's like, well, it made it where he could experience maybe kind of that heartbreak because it's kind of like, yeah, we had such great character development. We're starting completely over from scratch.
just isn't fun. Not right, to me, at least.
No, and we all agreed when we reviewed the first episode on the MCR, where it's like, all right, we wouldn't have wanted to see this all over again. So it's like, okay, Loki's caught up. This variant of Loki knows what happens to him on, say, the quote-unquote main timeline.
Yeah.
And it's really great because you do get extra development where Loki like reveals he doesn't like hurting people. It's just something that unfortunately is a side effect of what he wanted to do, which is at first, you know, eventually just want validation and all that shit. So it is really great.
That's a lot cuter and more unexpected than I thought.
Yeah. Well, because Owen Wilson's character is like, oh, what? Do you like hurting people? And Loki's like, what? And he's like, and he literally shows that scene in the first Avengers when Loki takes out that guy's eyeball. And Owen Wilson's like, because you're smiling there. He's like, it looks like you're enjoying it. So at the end of the episode, it's just him after having watched his film reel going like, I don't enjoy it. You asked me for it, I don't enjoy it. And it's like, oh my God, I love this.
All we ever wanted. We wanted soft Loki and we got him.
I will say that Owen Wilson says something to Loki in that episode that reminds me of what Odin said to Loki in the second Thor. As we just said before, when Odin goes, oh, your main purpose in life was to die. And Owen Wilson at some point says to him, like, because they're arguing at this point, right? And this is before Loki sees his film reel. And Owen Wilson's character goes, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially, you don't have a glorious purpose. Like, your whole thing is causing pain and it makes others want to be better. And so essentially, you know, your life is crap. And as a result, it makes everyone, your like demises pretty much make everyone else around you better and everything like that.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. And I was like, that's messed up, Owen Wilson. But, you know, there's a whole like plot in the show and it's too much to go through right now. But their chemistry is really good with each other. Just saying.
You're like, Owen Wilson, you can't say that.
I really like Owen Wilson in this show. His character's name is Mobius. And, you know, he has that flair of what makes Owen Wilson great, at least in my opinion. But it's kind of fun seeing him in, like, the Marvel wacky universe. So I really like it. Anyway, that was me.
I have a friend.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I have a friend at work because she came up to me and she said, look up Owen Wilson in Loki. And I said, okay. She goes, is he hot? And I said, I'm looking respectfully. And she was like, yeah. I said, I don't know if his hair is doing it for me, but, you know, he is gorgeous. And she's like, good. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Yeah, I was like, okay.
It is like, funny and everything. He's himself, but it's still great. And I really like their interactions with each other. So yeah, that's my number 7. Let's move on. Brittany, what is your number 6?
I think I'm gonna go with since we're getting on up there, I want to go with when Loki fucks with Valkyrie. When he's sitting there, and because they're like in this hand-to-hand combat, and I was like Loki's gonna get his ass beat by Valkyrie. I mean, look at her, she's just like, I don't know, he's outclassed. And when he realized, oh yeah, Loki is still Loki. Mm-hmm. He knows he's not the strongest. He's been doing this with Thor for so long that you'd have to think, well, how would he get away with it? And it's like, oh, when he does the mind fuck with her and brings back her traumatic past. Because didn't the love of her life also perish in the battle?
Yeah, so Taika Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok, pretty much confirmed that that woman in the flashback who took the sword from Hela was Valkyrie's lover.
Oh, and it's like, for her to relive it, and it does make you curious. Like, I do not blame Owen Wilson for asking him that question, because he seemed
pretty ecstatic about how fucking upset she was.
Well, I mean, that was a great scene because, first of all, I kind of like them going hand to hand, right? Because it's fun to see Loki fight sometimes because he's not a very physical person. It's almost like the Joker. You never really see the Joker going hand to hand with Batman, right? So you don't really see Loki doing a whole lot of physical fighting. So I like the back and forth. And when he quickly sees that she's, which, by the way, I love that everyone is just like so enamored with the Valkyries, right? Because even Thor is like, oh my God, I love the Valkyries. I wanted to be them. But, you know, then I found out that they're all women, so I couldn't join, but I love you guys. And it's like, I love how even Loki is like, you were a Valkyrie, right? Like that means something, being a Valkyrie. And, you know, Valkyrie says something along the lines of, you know, whatever, I guess it was a tragic or something. He's like, oh, it must be very tragic. And he like takes her head instantly. And when you see that flashback and it's like, as you said, oh shit, Loki, you're just like re-bringing up all that bullshit.
Yeah. And he's like, and I'll do it again. I don't know. I was very much there for it. Like, cause you know us, Tia. We love a good villain, and so to see that, I was like, "This is doing something for me." I kind of enjoy how evil he is or can be. Like, no, let's like. But I will say, let's not pretend he's a good man, though. Like, he may get his redemption story, but he was a fucking dickhead for a long ass time.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. I was gonna say really quick. This reminds me of it. Just as you said, but it reminds me of in Thor Ragnarok 2 when when Bruce Banner sees Loki and he's like, oh, last time we saw you, you're trying to kill us. How you feeling now? And Loki's like, it varies day to day.
It varies day to day. You know what? I feel like I relate with that.
But as you said, at the end of the day, Loki's a little shit. And so, I mean, that was his way of, say, getting one up in that fight. Okay, he can't beat Valkyrie on a physical level. So he's going to then, you know, kind of psychologically fuck with her. And he did. I mean, you saw how upset she did. Got.
Yeah, I would say. He paid for it though, didn't he? Didn't she like beat the shit out of him whenever she realized?
Oh yeah, she definitely got out of him and knocked him on his ass and everything. So you know, I mean, come on, Valkyrie is strong as hell.
You can't expect much different from her.
Nah, not at all. You know, she's the king of Asgard now. Like, she's strong as shit.
I'm gonna say she is the king of Asgard now.
She's the king of Asgard, as she should be. Like, all praise Valkyrie. I love that shit. Can I tell you really quick?
I love that, as she should be.
No, you know what I want to say? Like, I'm so glad they didn't go in, like, the romantic direction between her and Thor. I thought they were going to for a second when... there's a scene in Ragnarok where they like both get on the ship and they kind of like land close to each other and they have this awkward little moment. And I'm like, oh man, are we going in this direction? But it didn't. So I'm glad it didn't. And then Thor made her the king of Asgard and it was awesome.
It was everything we wanted.
Yeah, it was literally everything that we wanted. So I love it. I love that shit. I'm a little sad. So do you remember when Thor Ragnarok came out and they had something like, remember Thor called them the Revengers?
Oh my God. Yeah, it was a perfect name though. I wish they would have kept it.
I was going to say, am I the only one who like wishes we had more of the Revengers? They were kind of
loved it.
They were kind of like a perfect little group with each other.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I know. I was like, the name's perfect. It would have been like perfect for the play on, because it's just like, it's like the Guardians of the Galaxy. What a bunch of a-holes.
Right? They were perfect. You had Loki, you had Valkyrie, you had Thor. They were great.
I know. I kind of like, because it does, because Love and Thunder takes place with him going with the Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Well, I mean, it takes place after Endgame. So, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that that's what's going to happen, because every single member of the Guardians of the Galaxy were spotted on set. So I'm assuming that it's going to explore Thor, you know, going off with them, because that's where we saw him at the end of Endgame. I mean, come on, you cannot deprive us of the beauty that is Thor and Star-Lord interacting.
I know, and I'm going to say, because we no longer, I wonder if we're still going to have Fat Thor, though. I love Fat Thor.
Oh my god, he was great. I love that we had him, like, all throughout Endgame. Someone pointed out that they were really happy at the end of Endgame that he didn't just, say, get instantly cut when he, you know, got that epic beard and everything like that. I'm like, me too. Me too. It showed that, like, yeah. Thor can still be worthy in the God of Thunder, even though he's kind of let himself go.
Yeah. And I love that it showed that he could. Depression's a hell of a drug.
It fucking really is. And I felt that it was very truthful. And see, that's the thing. So I know I say this a lot, but some people say the Marvel movies are too, like, childish and everything. And I'm like, you got to look for the things, because that was a commentary and a very real thing. And I thought they did really good.
I know, because they still kept it lighthearted enough that people aren't like, oh, I'm depressed now, while still keeping it, you know, fun and family friendly.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, whatchamacallit. So I will get number 5 here. Sorry for sounding distracted for a second. I was asking my boyfriend if he could get me ice cream. Everyone needs to know that. Oh
my god. Ice cream too. That's why I was like apologizing earlier if I sound weird. My allergies are going crazy. Arkansas has a crazy amount of grass pollen right now, and it is fucking me up.
Right? Whatchamacallit? I, like, 1 year had allergies, not like a whole bunch or anything like that, but there was like 1 year, a few years ago, I got it, and I sat there and said, I know now what everyone is going through. This is awful.
I don't normally get allergies, and that's how I feel right now, where I'm like, you know what? I feel sorry for everyone now.
Right? It sucks. It really does. Whatchamacallit. So I will get number 5, and I will get the, so I want to take this before you take it, right? And I'm going to get the confrontation between Loki and Natasha in the first Avengers.
I knew it.
As soon as you said Loki and Valkyrie, I was like, all right, no. I can't have her taking
Loki and Natasha. I'm not taking any fucking chances with this bitch.
So, you know, we have the first Avengers movie. Loki is captured. He's in the helicarrier, sorry, you know.
Yeah, it was like whatever the big fucking thing in the sky was.
Yeah, and he's, you know, captured, he's behind the glass and everything, and Natasha goes up to him and they're having that conversation. This also shows why I love Natasha, because, you know, their battle of wits there, where they're just kind of going back and forth and they're almost one-upping each other, and it's like neither of them are kind of moving or anything. And then suddenly Loki starts, you know, bringing up all this shit, like, oh, you know, you're trying to wipe your ledger, but it's soaked with blood and everything, and you'll never do it, and, you know, this and that, and, you know, I'm gonna kill Clint Barton in front of you and shit like that. And then he comes out with like the craziest line that I think had everyone going home and Googling what the hell it meant, but you mewling Quim.
I don't know what issue because he basically called her a cunt, and I loved it though.
It was the Asgardian version of calling someone like the C word, and freaking you know, and then for him to think that he's got one up on Natasha because, oh, look, she's crying, she moved her head. And then I think he mentions something that alludes to to the Hulk. And Natasha's like, oh, that's your end game of being here. Oh, you want the Hulk? Okay, thank you. And then she goes, thank you for your cooperation, and then walks away. And you can and you can tell Loki is so confused because in that moment he realized that he got played.
In that moment, he realized he was the Mewling Quim.
That he was the Mewling Quim. It was like that meme from, DJ Khalifa? Where it's like, congratulations, you played yourself.
You played yourself? Oh my god, I love that one. I'm glad you said that.
I love that scene. That scene's so great.
I know. I was like, I think what I love the most about that scene is because, you know, you knew Loki was evil, mm-hmm. but I think for me, it was like, yeah, he's evil. But, you know, how evil is he? Is he a pushover? And you're like, oh, he's getting a little dark and scary right now. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, it was really intense. And I really enjoyed that scene between them. Full disclosure, that scene totally inspired me to write a fanfic about it. And I think it did for everyone. If you went on places like Archive of Our Own or fanfiction.net at the time, I forget which one was bigger. I'm not sure if fanfiction.net was still really active at that moment, but damn the amount of fanfictions that came out after that when with Loki and Natasha, they were out there.
Oh, I know. And you know what? It's like, I don't care. It's toxic. I still love it.
Yeah, fuck that, right?
Where you're like, I shouldn't like this. You know, but, you know, TikTok has taught me I have never had an original thought in my life. So, you know what? I'm here for it. And it's all because I'm like, okay, that's fucked up. There's someone that's already thought it 10 times over. So I'm good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, there's an episode of South Park. God, from years ago, years and years. I don't even know how many years ago, because South Park's been around probably for as long as I've been born. But there's a scene, there's an episode where Butters is freaking out because every time he thinks of something, someone's like, The Simpsons did it. And it's like, The Simpsons did it, The Simpsons did it. And I think at the end of the episode, they point out like, The Simpsons have done everything because they've been around for like a million fucking years. And they're like, and even if The Simpsons haven't done it, someone else before you has done it because no idea is really truly original. Someone has done it before you. So don't freak out. If you think of something and you go, oh God, that's like da da da, just make it your own. Just make it your own. Yeah. And who the hell cares?
Doesn't that feel like on TikTok where I'm like, oh, I have this really awesome idea and I see somebody does it. And I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I think I saw actually a TikTok about a lady that was like, you know what, just do it and do it better. You know, you're never going to be the first person to do it. So you might as well just fucking, have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. Like, just do it and who cares? But yeah,
we can't do a podcast because somebody already else did it. That's how it works.
Isn't that a thing now? I see some people on YouTube who are like, everyone has a podcast. And it's like, okay, I'm going to still have a podcast.
You know, that's kind of like, you know, there's this game I play called Final Fantasy, and it's an MMO, and they have a new class coming out called the Reaper, you know, and you get to be like a Reaper. You have the scythe and everything, and I think it's so cool. And I told somebody, I was like, oh, I can't wait to play with that class when it comes out. And they're like, oh, you and everybody else. And I was like, well, because it's cool. Are you saying because everybody wants to do it, I can't do it? That makes no sense. Why do they get to do it? And I'm the basic bitch if I do it.
Yeah, there's this whole thing that people hate on people for liking things that are popular, and it's like, get over it. It's like you have a subsection of people on Twitter who think that people who like Marvel too much are, oh, you just like it because it's popular. Anything Marvel feeds you, you're going to enjoy. And it's like, first of all, I mean, I do watch things so that they're entertaining. I'm not some like highbrow like film critic or something. I want to be entertained. If it entertains me, that's all I freaking need, right? And at the same time, it's like they're good movies. Like they're good movies. Stop. You know, they became as popular and as lucrative as they are because they're good movies. Like, stop hating because it's just popular.
Yeah. Well, we just sat here and realized, you know, we knew the first Thor movie and the second movie sucked to the point where we were like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about the Thor movies. And then Ragnarok came out and we're like, okay, I can give it one more chance.
I also think, and I'll say this really quick, and this has nothing to do with it really, that you miss out when you purposely avoid things simply because they're popular. And I'll equate it to Amy Winehouse. I did not listen to Amy Winehouse back in the day because for some reason I had some vendetta against like Amy Winehouse in the sense of, you know, back in high school and still to this day, actually, I do a very extreme winged eyeliner. And I was doing it because I just thought it looked really cool. And I kind of based it on, say, like Egyptian hieroglyphics, right?
Yeah.
And then Amy Winehouse came to the scene and everyone in school goes, oh, you do that because of Amy Winehouse. And I'm like, I've been doing this before. I even saw who Amy Winehouse was. I'm not, back then you're like, I'm not copying. I'm not a poser.
I was doing it before it was cool.
So I like purposely didn't listen to Amy Winehouse's music. And then after she unfortunately passed away, then one day I hear a song of hers, not knowing it's a song of hers, then finding out it's a song of hers. I'm going, this is the type of music Amy Winehouse put out. And I'm obsessed. I've listened to all of her albums. I love. So it's like you really miss out on something you may enjoy just because you sit there and go, well, I'm not going to like it because everyone else likes it.
Nah, which is kind of depressing.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to go on a soapbox there, but it just reminded me of that. When you're, let me tell you, when you're on Twitter and you're part of a geek organization, sometimes the shit you see and everything is crazy.
On Twitter are fucking insane.
I was told recently that someone who, like, say, follows us, and I'm not going to obviously say anything, thinks that I'm too soft on Disney in my reviews. And it's like, I'm just being honest, you know?
Just lie about how you feel about it.
Like, I saw full disclosure, I saw the Black Widow movie recently. And, you know, my review hasn't come out for it yet because that's embargoed till the 26th. But we were able to talk about it on social media. And, yeah, I gave it really good freaking praise. You'll have to wait for my review to come out to actually read about it. But I gave it really big praise. And apparently I was told that... I'm too soft on Disney. And I'm like, if it was a bad movie, I would have said it was a bad movie. Like, to be honest with you, I didn't think that the second episode of Loki was that great. And I said it in my review. So I'm like, I'm obviously, you know, open to speaking. I don't give a fuck that it's Disney, you know? I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, Disney.
I'd be about it too.
Soft on Disney. I pretty much have said that every like live action movie they've done of remakes of their animated, you know, movies are crap. But anyway, whatever. We're not here for that. We're here for Loki. Let's continue on. Brittany, what's your number four?
I'm gonna go with I hate to already throw it out there, but Loki going against Thanos.
Yes.
Because for me, it's like, you know, you had the, how would you say, this build up to Loki's bad guy, you know, but, you know, he's a good guy sometimes, but, you know, he's always, the one thing you can always count on with Loki is that he's always going to betray you. And all these things. And did you ever see him being truly heroic? Where he was like, yeah, I'll give up my brother and let him die. And for a second, Thor is like, believes it before you realize, no, Loki could have got out of there. Because I think it said that you know, the other people escape through escape pods, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's how Valkyrie was alive and the others from Asgard.
Yeah, and it's like he's very easily could have turned himself into a child to sneak onto the fucking thing. Mm-hmm. It would not be out of character for him, but it's like, no, instead he stayed to be a good person. It's like he ultimately protected his brother, and he's like, and we have a Hulk. And I'm like,
it comes full circle.
I came full circle after fucking, you know, the whole thing with, you know, so, with Thor. What'd you say?
It's the whole thing, remember, in the first Avengers, Loki and Tony are talking back and forth, and Loki's like, I have an army, and Tony's like, we have a Hulk. And it's like, for Loki to do that.
And he was fully joining in, and I don't mean to curse about it so much. I just really love that scene because, you know, that also showed how freaking strong Thanos was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because you know, when he gets Hulk, and you're like, okay, oh, he's beating him in hand to hand combat in a strength to strength combat. Somebody tried to say tell me they're like, Hulk's still stronger than Thanos, and I'm like,
To be fair, I think he was wielding one of the Infinity Stones. So
yeah, but I don't think he was. That was the one that like stuff or did. I don't think that was the one of power because that would have been the one that. No. He actually might have had the Power Stone in that because didn't they destroy that one planet that they hid the purple one on?
Yeah, they completely destroyed it.
Yeah, and that was the one that they got from Ronan, which was the power one. Mm. Never mind. Okay. I can admit when I was wrong, but I don't remember him having a powered up to fight like the Hulk though.
Either way, it was an epic fight, but yes, let's keep talking about Loki versus Thanos.
I think like for me it was just like whenever he grabbed him by the neck and killed him and he's like, no more, what was it, like, no more resurrections.
Oh, it was like, you bastard, Thanos.
You bastard. And I know that it was like supposed to be their way of telling us like, oh, he's not coming back this time. It's not right. Oh, and when he went that moment when you don't know if he went blue because he suffocated because of his broken neck or because he was slightly turning back, you know, ice giant, frost giant.
Oh my god. And then he says to Thanos, you will never be a god. And I'm just like,
through and through, I think, you know, he always had pride in what he was raised as.
Well, because he says, he's like, I, Loki Lofi-son, son of Odin or something like that. He says, because at first he like makes it seem like he's like, I, Loki of Jotunheim. He says something about like the frost giants, but then he pauses and he says like Odin's son. Oh yeah, he goes, I, Loki.
Oh, doesn't he look at Thor?
Yeah, and he like looks back at Thor, he's like, Odin's son. Like, and he says to Thor, he's like, the sun will rise on us again, brother. And I'm just like,
Yeah, I'm gonna say, like, you know, he ultimately tried to do good. I mean, he's a trash panda, but we still love him.
Can I tell you, I knew that Loki was dying within the first few minutes because I have a friend, and I won't say names because I don't want to get anyone in trouble or anything like that. But I have a friend who was able to see Infinity War before everyone else. And she comes into work and I go, I just have to know. I go, don't tell me anything else. I want to be surprised. Right. I go, but I have to know because I'll be thinking about the entire movie. Does Loki die? And she's like, within the first 5 minutes. And I was like, but
at least have a moment where you're like, he could still come back.
But I wanted to know because I knew that if I saw the movie organically and I saw that, I'd be thinking the entire movie, no, he's going to pop back up. He's going to pop back up. Like he always does. Yeah,
you just needed to know.
I just need to know. But yeah, that scene is great because, all right, I have been waiting for that scene because I don't know if you remember in Avengers 1, you know, they say Thanos, the Chitauri say, you got this scepter from Thanos. And if you don't deliver onto, you know, what he wants from you, then there's nowhere in this like universe that you will be safe from Thanos. And I was like, there has to be a reunion. And then at the end of Ragnarok, when you see the ship come up, it's like, oh, fuck. This is it.
And they really meant it. You're like, oh shit, they weren't joking.
They weren't joking. Like, Thanos really is coming for Loki. And so when they had that thing at first, when, you know, and at first you sat there and you go, is Loki really going to go with Thanos after all this development we got in Ragnarok, right? And so finally it was like, no. And so when he at first is like, I have a Hulk, you know, that was great. And then I will admit, listen, I love that he stood up for his brother and everything. I was like, Loki, did you really think that that was going to work? You trying to stab Thanos? You just saw what he did to the Hulk.
I guess he was like, you know what? I'm going to at least kind of go out heroically, but I'm also like, did you really do anything?
It's like that meme with Thor's face when he's like, really? Did it really? And it's like, come on, Loki, what the hell?
I thought you were going to do the one with Omni-Man where he's like, think, Mark, think.
But I will admit that, again, I love the line that he says to Thanos, like, you will never be a god. And it's like, I don't know. I just love it. Like, Loki's still saying, like, I'm still better than you.
I mean, to be fair, he is.
Yes. But I was going to say, yeah, I love that scene, Loki versus Thanos. You know, it was really sad. It was really sad seeing, you know, Thor sitting there and, you know, mourning his brother and everything. And I will say someone pointed out, so I told you how in the first episode of the Loki series that he sees his death and he sees Thor hugging like his body. And then it goes end of film, right? And someone pointed out, if that's in his memories, right? If that's like in the film before the film ends, that means that Loki like felt Thor hugging him. So Loki's literal like last moments of life is at least getting a hug from his brother. Okay, and I'm like, I can't deal with that. I know, that's what I said. I was like, I can't deal with this right now. What are you doing?
Well,
I'll move on from that intense sadness to my number three, which is a complete funny one and one of my favorite Loki scenes, just because of how, one, absurd it is, and two, again, just showing that all really Loki wanted to do was be the hero. And it's literally in Thor Ragnarok when whatchamacallit, you know, they're battling against Hela's people and it looks like they're going to lose. And, you know, all the people of Asgard are like really, you know, afraid and everything like that. And they're running and there's like no hope for them. And all of a sudden you see a ship and you hear Loki going, your savior is here.
And oh my God. And you're like, really?
I just thought that was great. Like Loki going, your savior is here. And I'm like, it just really shows that all Loki wanted was to be the hero, to come rescue his people of Asgard, and for to have the people of Asgard, like, you know, happy to see him and shit like that. And I love that. I love that shit.
I love that. I love that scene because it's like, you know, at first you're like, is this ridiculous? And you're like, no, he's just a fucking baby. Well, to be fair, that was also at the point that he was pretending to be Odin.
Yeah, exactly.
So to be fair, he's pretty ridiculous. Oh my God, you know what? I'm saving that for the other one. But hey, you knew where I was about to go.
I did.
You know what? I think that's going to be mine later on. But it just is absolutely ridiculous because he just pops in. Like, it's almost childlike.
It is. But I still thought it was, like, hilarious just for him to be there with, like, arms wide open and being like, your savior is here. And everyone getting on. He's like, go ahead, get on. And he goes to Thor, and it's like, Thor's not even surprised. He's like, it took you long enough to get here. And he's like, you're missing an eye. That's the thing he says to Thor. He's like, you're missing an eye. And it's like, I love that shit. That shit was so funny to me. I'm like, thank God for Taika Waititi. He made the Thor franchise so goddamn hilarious.
You know, that is one thing that got me about, like, that is that, you know, Thor lost so much in that fucking movie because, your hammer's gone. Your eye's gone. What, like, you're losing everything. Your dad's dead. Like, dude can't catch a break.
Your dad's dead. Your mom's dead. Your girlfriend broke up with you. It's like, a horrible freaking time for Thor. He wasn't doing very well at that point, to be honest with you. But yeah, no, I mean, that's like a shining beacon for me in that movie. Not a shining beacon. I love the whole entire movie, but to me, it's just such a standout. And I'll say one last thing, because it kind of goes into it, but it shows again how Loki just wanted to be the hero because, and again, ultimately, like, loves his brother. Because I don't know if you remember, in that scene where Hela takes Thor's eye, right? And she's like, I'm the god of death. What were you the god of again? And he, you know, like, gains his powers and, like, jumps down an Immigrant Song by, you know, Led Zeppelin's playing and everything. And it's so fucking epic and shit. And you see Loki smiling as he's watching. And it's like, he's impressed. It's like, that's his brother, and his brother finally unleashed, like, his true power.
Well, you know, it's like his brother was coming into himself.
Yeah, and I just freaking love that. And I loved at some point during that fight, by the way, that Loki uses his helmet to fight against someone. I'm like, I love that shit. I know I keep saying I love that shit, but I love that shit.
He hasn't used that in a long time.
Mm-mm. So I'm like, yes, use it to stab some bastard.
Hey, use your aesthetic. We love a king.
I was going to say, in the behind the scenes for the first Thor, Tom Hiddleston did say that like, thing weighed a freaking ton. He said it weighed so heavy and it hurt so much. So I'm wondering if they changed the materials that they use for, like, other horns going forward, because we never saw the one that looked like the one in the first Thor again.
I know. You would think they would have been able to make it out of something that would be a little lighter. You know, was that your last one?
No, that's my second to last one. This is number three, but we can go into number two, which would be your last one.
No, okay, because I was about to bring up a point. There was one scene I said I was about to go, I can't believe you didn't pick that one. And I almost said it, and I went, wait a second.
Well, what
I
is think it?
I found an order here.
What is it?
But what if you pick it?
Give me a hint.
It's probably the kinkiest thing he said in a movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that is my number one.
okay, I was sitting there, I was like, I hope she's picking up what I'm putting down, but I think I'm gonna go with, you know, his father's, the final goodbye between Loki and his father.
Aw, and Thor Ragnarok, right?
Yeah. Because I think that was what he needed more than anything, was just to feel like he belonged and felt like his father loved him. And when he finally got it, when that was all he wanted to get, it was all he wanted to finally get it in that moment. It, like, even though his father was about to pass away, it was like, I don't know, it was like cathartic, because his father was a grade A asshole. Like, his father was fucking just trash for a lot of it. And you know I love Sir Anthony Hopkins, but their dad sucked.
Their dad really sucked. Like, super sucked.
I don't know. I just really enjoyed the movie because of that reason. But I think, you know, him looking at him and he's like, my sons. And it's like, because, you know, between the your birthright was to die and everything else, it's like, that's pretty fucked.
Yeah, well,
there's not many things more fucked than that.
I mean, on top of him saying that, and then I don't know if you remember in the first Thor, right, when freaking Loki is hanging off of Rainbow Bridge. And, you know, Odin is holding on and shit. And Loki's like, I did this for you, father, for all of us. And Odin's like, no. And Loki, let's go. And I sit there and said, you couldn't have waited to, like, pull him up to then tell him how much of a big disappointment he is.
Like, right?
You didn't.
Like, you know, I just gave him 5 fucking seconds to not, you know, yeet himself off of a bridge out of, like, the heartbreak.
It's like, he didn't know that he was going to survive that.
He didn't know. Like, father intuition as he nervously sweats.
Right? But yeah, no, that final thing between Loki and Odin was so needed, but for Loki, you know, Odin just saying, like, I love you, my sons. And you just see Loki's face looking at Odin, because that is something he has wanted to hear his whole life. He never expected to hear or anything like that. So yeah, that was really emotional. It's like, god damn it, what the hell is up with
this? What would you have done, Tia, if you had seen that, right? And he didn't say his final words were like, I love you, son, looks at Thor, nothing else. I probably would have died. I probably would have laughed, though, like, nervous laugh. I am a nervous laugher.
I know you are. Oh my god, it was hilarious.
I laughed with Optimus died in the Transformer movies because it upset me so bad.
The best, though, is when Hela comes out and you see that she looks like Loki. And I sat there and go, okay, where the hell did Thor come from? And then it's like, did he, like, make Loki kind of look the way he looks because maybe he like missed Hela in a way?
Well, you know, with the mother being the reason, like, for teaching him magic and stuff, and I think, you know, she's the illusionist that gave him that appearance. What if she did that to Odin to make sure he always knew about the daughter he did, like a punishment to him?
Right? I want answers, because
it's, I want, like, answers too.
Because it's like, oh, what would Loki have looked like if they hadn't gotten him? Because he was a blue baby. So, you know, what would he have grown up to look like if it weren't for Odin and Frigga? But yeah, it's such a good scene, Brittany. It really is. I love the scene between Loki and Odin. And I especially love...
We love being depressed.
Well, I love that this scene literally afterward is, you know, him dying and then, you know, Hela freaking being unleashed. And I love, I don't know if you remember, that's the transformation with Thor and Odin, where, not Thor, sorry, Thor and Loki, when they both, like, transform from their regular outfits to their, like, Asgard, you know, garb and everything.
Attire.
Yeah, I love that shit. But I love that whole entire sequence of events when Hela is like, kneel before your queen. And Loki's like, I beg your pardon. Like, that's my line.
I beg your pardon. He's like, that's my line.
And I love Hela's like, you don't look like him. She's like, but you definitely sound like him, like about Odin. And I just love that whole thing. Oh my god, Hela was so great. Oh. I would bring Hela back.
I like how, like, the moment he died, she was back. Like, oh, here I am. And it's like, we haven't even got a chance to mourn yet, lady. Can you
right?
5 seconds?
Yeah, she was like, oh, he's dead. Hmm.
What a shame.
It's funny. It's like, they never tried to reconcile with their sister. They were like, well, you suck.
Well, I guess we gotta throw the whole sister away.
Just, I'll throw the whole sister away, man.
Right.
I love it. But yes, we are down to the number 1 on our top 10 Loki moments from the MCU. As always, let's go through our top 10 before going to the number one. We have number 10, I Have to Get Off This Planet. Number 9, the confrontation between Loki and Odin in Thor 1. Number 8, Loki impersonating Captain America in Thor 2. Number 7 is the end of film scene in the first episode of Loki. Number 6 is Loki and Valkyrie's fight in Ragnarok. 5 is Loki and Natasha in Avengers. 4 is Loki versus Thanos in Infinity War. Number 3 is Your Saviors Here from Ragnarok. Number 2 is Odin's goodbye to Loki in Ragnarok. And number 1 is one of the most well-known scenes of Loki. It comes from the first Avengers, and it is when Loki demands for everyone to kneel before him. Speaking of kneeling, from Hela and everything.
You're right.
They just got him. that's the scene you were talking about, right, Brittany?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's like, dude, that's his line. You can't be taking that shit.
But I love that in the first Thor, because it was really powerful, right? He's before all these humans, and he's just like this powerful god that's almost mad with, you know, power, and he's demanding everyone kneel, and they all kneel and everything like that. And he has this whole speech of like, oh, isn't this so much better? You know, you human beings were made to be ruled. You know, if I take away your free will, it's so much simpler and everything. I'm actually your savior and blah, blah, blah. But can I tell you why I love that scene so much? It's not 100% even because of Loki, which sounds bad because this is our Loki podcast. Yeah. But it is because of that old man standing up against Loki, you know, and he's like, you know, I didn't kneel for other men. I'm not going to kneel for you. And Loki's like, there are no other men like me. And he's like, there are always men like you. And I'm like, I love that so much. And I think, you know, they were pretty much alluding to, and I think even like Marvel came out and said that he was supposed to be a Holocaust survivor. So it's like,
I'm trying to remember, because that sounded so familiar to me that I was like, wait, isn't that? And you're like, is it?
Yeah. So, you know, it was pretty much supposed to be like alluding to that, you know, and that's what I was thinking. It's like, this man survived fucking Hitler. He ain't kneeling for you with your horns and shit like that. I love that. And then I also love the scene after, because Captain America then lands down, and I think he says something like, last time I was in Germany and I, you know, I ended up having a disagreement with a guy, it didn't end up too well and shit. And I was like, I love this.
Right. No, I love that scene altogether, though. I think like the biggest thing for me is that part with the old man, but also just because you know how Loki is.
Oh, Loki, I mean, again, Loki was great, him demanding everyone to kneel. I mean, because they were in Germany, and I think that whole Germany sequence of events.
Oh, they were in Germany. That's a good point.
They were in Germany, and that scene was right after the scene when Loki crashes, I think, that gala event, and he, you know, whacks that one guy with his scepter and he steals his eye and shit like that. I mean, it's pretty gruesome, man.
That's pretty fucked up.
But I don't know. It's such a great, like, scene. I loved him just shouting, kneel! You know, and it was so great because then Tom Hiddleston, I think, the Comic-Con after that, he goes up on stage and he just goes, kneel to everyone. And then I don't know if you got it.
Everybody fangirls.
But it's so funny because in that video clip, he goes, kneel. And it's like all quiet a little. And this one guy in the audience is like, my wife loves you.
So, by the way, so I had a second like you did with the ice cream, except it was Aaron saying, hey, I'm leaving, bye. And I was like right in the middle of talking, and so I stuttered, and so I didn't want you to think I was crazy, which I am, to be fair. Now I had my ice cream moment.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many other like fantastic scenes of Loki throughout the years that I could spend probably just so long on it, like so long.
I know.
And he has so many great little scenes. Like, you almost want to say, like, everything he's ever done in anything, and you're like, oh, I can't do that. And you're like, but I can.
I mean, literally everything. There's so many great parts. Like, I can say, you know, freaking, I don't know. There's so many great scenes. I'm trying to think. Even in the first Thor, when you could see how manipulative he is, and he tells, you know, Thor, like, you know, oh, father's dead, mother doesn't want you back and everything. Sorry. Peace out. And then, like, leaves.
I guess you could say we do some for Loki.
Yeah, no, definitely. I am simp. Loki is definitely, I have to say, I think Loki's definitely my favorite character in the MCU. I've loved seeing his progression throughout the movies and shit like that. I just think it's great. Tom Hiddleston's awesome.
There was one of the guys, you just reminded me, one of the guys at work was like, I don't get why you guys like Carl Heisenberg so much, because one of the girls at work was like, I want to read your fan fiction, you know, and the guy was like, I don't see why y'all like him, and she goes, she put her hands on her hips, and she goes, we just think he's neat, okay?
We just think he's neat.
That's how I feel about you with Loki. You're like, I just think he's neat.
I just think he's neat. Yeah, I don't know why. Again, I saw the first Thor in theaters, and I sat there and was like, this. And I remember at the end of the first Thor, right? Because remember, you think he's dead, and then you stay for the end credits, and then you see that scene where the doctor, right, is being shown around by Nick Fury, and he sees the Tesseract, and he turns, and you see Loki in the mirror going like, oh, well, that's very interesting. And it's like, oh, Loki's alive.
You're like, that's all I ever wanted.
And so then when they tease him in the Avengers movie, you're like, it's happening.
That moment when you're like, am I too easy to please? And you're like, no, it's the people that are wrong.
Exactly. But before we wrap everything up here tonight, Brittany, did you have any, I know we said like we could mention like all of Loki's scenes pretty much, but is there one particular scene that you're like, I wish I would have gotten that on the list?
I'm trying to think back. I try to think about anything else. I don't think I do.
Fair enough. I will say my one scene is the end of Ragnarok when Thor is talking to Loki and he says, if you were here, I would hug you. And he throws the thing expecting it to just be an illusion, but it's really Loki there. And he's like, I am here, brother. And it's like, oh my God, you knew that they hugged. And I was like, oh my God, they hugged.
They acted like brothers. We feel like parents that are just excited our kids are getting along.
They made up. Yay.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so everyone who's listening, you know, please comment down below and all that. Like, what is your favorite Loki moment from the MCU? Are you watching the Loki series right now? As I said before, we do a review show live on YouTube every Wednesday night. You know, we covered WandaVision while it was happening. We covered Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're covering Loki right now. The third episode comes out this Wednesday on Disney Plus, and we are going to be just continuously covering these Disney Plus, you know, shows that keep coming out. And also keep an eye out for my Black Widow review. Guys, please hear me when I say this. You got to go see it in theaters. Well, listen, I don't want to say that, right? If you don't feel safe going to a theater, they are offering it on Disney Plus. So please see it either in the theaters or the comfort of your own home. But see it regardless of where you see it, whether it's in theaters or at home. Please see it. It is so worth it. Don't just brush it off like, oh, it's a prequel. You know, we know what happens to her. She dies, blah, blah, blah. No, it's still amazing. It's so good. Please go see it.
But like, do not sleep on this movie.
I'm telling you, it's so good, Brittany. I wish I could say more, but it's so freaking good. But please see it. Brittany, please plug yourself. Let everyone know where they can find you, what you got going on next.
I was gonna say, you can always find me on Twitch at sorry, I don't know why I got flustered. You can always find me on Twitch at Itty Bitty Brit. I've been playing a lot of scary games, been playing a lot of MMOs, played Resident Evil for Carl Heisenberg. And yeah, I've been doing a lot of my 3D printing stuff. Hopefully start doing some streams on that soon. I still need to make YouTube videos. I tell myself that every time that I'm going to do it. I have yet to do it. But yeah, you can come see me. And also on Twitter at Itty Bitty Brit Zero. And I also have figured out what I want to cosplay this year, and I'm excited to get it in.
Oh my God, it's so exciting. Do you want to tell what it is? Because I think it's
Oh
cool.
yeah, I could say, and we I'm gonna do Starlight from The Boys.
Oh my God, when she sent me the ideas of her cosplay this year, I was like, oh my God, you're being Starlight from The Boys. I love her. So I think
I and
that's
I feel like
great.
it's died down enough that not like everyone's doing it, but even if they were, I want to do it anyways.
Who cares? It's the perfect costume. Starlight's such a great character on that show. She really is. So,
She's such
yes.
a cootie
I love her. So please everyone make sure that you're checking out Brittany. She's a very dedicated streamer who spends many of her time trying to entertain you all. One day she will stream GTA 5. Like it'll happen
patootie.
one
I know,
day.
I need to do it for you.
Yes, I will actually watch. I do watch some of your streams, but I'll watch that one especially.
Rude. Oh, did you just expose yourself? I'm gonna have a worse breakup with you than frenemies.
Oh. Is it okay, really quick, is it bad? I like go on Twitter to like see like what's the latest with Trisha Paytas and Ethan. I'm like, all right, what's going on now?
Is there not a part of you that thinks that they're both doing it on purpose?
I don't know, because it's gotten too ugly at this point, you know? It's gotten like really ugly, and I think that's the last
In that
thing.
moment, that if it started out as a joke and it's no longer a joke.
I mean, Trisha may have taken it like too far. I mean, I won't get too much into it, but Ethan and his wife Gila from the H3H3 podcast are expecting another baby. So I'm just saying,
Oh, I didn't know that.
yeah, Gila just announced that she was pregnant, so I doubt they need all that drama. But yes, we don't need a
Yeah,
frenemy
are you sure? I
situation
mean, we can make it happen to you. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'll make 10 videos about all this crap.
Brittany exposed.
Right? Here's the tweets. Here's the text messages.
Here's the tea.
The 5%. But anyway, as for me, as I said, you can check us out at geekfivesnation.com. It has links to all of our social media accounts. If you are on YouTube, please subscribe Geek Vibes Podcast. That's where we do the Marvel Cinematic Review every week. So please check that out. If you are wanting to follow my personal, I'm most active on Twitter, TC underscore Stark. But you could also find me on Instagram with the same user handle. So yeah, thank you everyone who is listening in. Again, please let us know what your favorite Loki moment is, and do you stan him as much as I do. But all right, guys, that's the top 10, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.